The Beauty, the Booty, and the Beast. By Yu Mei. Once upon a time, in a quaint village nestled at the edge of a deep forest, lived a young maiden named Belle. She was known for her intelligence, her love for books, and her adventurous spirit. However, Belle was also known for being headstrong and independent. In the heart of the same forest, there resided a fearsome beast in an enchanted castle. Cursed by a wicked sorceress, he was trapped in a monstrous form until someone could love him despite his appearance. The beast was lonely and yearned for companionship. One sunny morning, Belle decided that she could no longer endure the confinement of her village life. Her father supported her desire to read and pursue an education, of course, but she craved freedom and wanted to explore the world beyond. She felt a pang of regret as she kissed her sleeping father on the forehead, knowing what she was about to do was against his wishes. Sneaking out of her cottage, she made her way through the dense woods, bringing a lantern and provisions with her for her journey. She'd resolved to visit Paris and make a new, independent life for herself. She remembered once how she had run away from home once at age 10, with nothing but a dream, only to end up lost and sit crying until her father came to her rescue. Mama and Papa had each in turn taken a strap to her for her disobedience, but Belle had accepted the hiding gladly. After Mama had passed, Papa had decided she was too old for such punishments, and Belle had done everything she could to fill her mother's shoes. Now that Papa's work as an inventor and merchant had finally paid off, they were finally financially secure, even comfortably well off. But Belle wanted more than a quiet life in the country. She wanted to strike out on her own for a while. Ruefully, she wondered if Papa would change his mind about her being too old to spank if he caught her running off like this. Deep within the heart of the forest, where sunlight struggled to pierce the dense canopy, Belle found herself on an unfamiliar path. She could have sworn this was a shortcut to the Via Domitia, then it was a straight shot to Paris. The maps in her dusty cartography books all confirmed it. As she ventured through the twisting paths, a sense of anticipation filled the air. Unknown to her, lurking in the shadows stood the enigmatic beast. Belle's footsteps faltered, her eyes scanning the dimly lit surroundings.
"Is someone there?"
she called out, her voice echoing through the quiet woods. A deep, resonant voice responded, emanating from the darkness.
"I am here,"
it rumbled, as the beast stepped slightly closer, but still concealed within the shadows.
"Who are you, fair maiden?"
Belle's heart fluttered with curiosity, though a sliver of apprehension lingered.
"I am Belle,"
she answered, her voice steady.
"I come from the nearby village. And who might you be?"
The beast's voice carried a hint of melancholy.
"I am the beast,"
he replied, his tone tinged with both longing and resignation.
"A cursed soul, trapped to never leave my manor beyond the woods that surround it, hidden from the world."
A gentle breeze rustled through the trees, swirling the fallen leaves around Belle's feet. She listened intently to the beast's voice, noting its depth and complexity. There was a richness to it, a quality that hinted at kindness, intelligence, and sensitivity. Curiosity overcame her hesitation, and she inquired further.
"What brings you to these woods, beast?"
There was a momentary pause, as if the beast pondered his response.
"My manor lies but 300 yards yonder. I wander these groves in search of solace and perhaps a glimmer of hope. The solitude of the forest is both my sanctuary and my prison."
Belle felt a pang of sympathy and understanding. She could sense the beast's longing for companionship and connection, buried beneath the weight of his curse. Her curiosity piqued even more, her heart urging her to uncover the truth hidden within the shadows. With a deep breath, she implored.
"May I see your face, beast? Let me look upon you."
Belle stepped forward, holding up her lantern, her heart pregnant with anticipation. But the beast stepped away, a growl entering his voice.
"No. Stay away. You must not look upon moi."
With a roar, he darted further into the shadows, but the light of the lantern fell upon him. His form was hulking and monstrous, his visage a labyrinth of sharp angles and fearsome features. As he bellowed a terrible roar of despair, Belle's eyes widened, and her breath caught in her throat. Panic surged through her veins like a sudden storm, her mind overwhelmed by the sight before her. She turned on her heels, tears glistening in her eyes, and fled from the beast with all her might. Her thoughts raced, a mix of fear and confusion. The image of the beast's monstrous form was seared into her mind, eclipsing the kindness she had sensed in his voice. She berated herself for daring to hope that beauty might reside within the shadows. Lost in her desperate flight, Belle never glanced back. The sounds of her hurried footsteps faded into the distance, leaving the beast standing alone amidst the somber woods, his heart heavy with disappointment and the bitter reminder of his cursed existence. And so, in that melancholic moment, Belle and the beast's paths diverged, their encounter leaving an indelible mark on both of their souls. The woods remained silent, as if holding its breath, awaiting the day when fate might bring them together once more. As Belle ventured deeper into the forest, lost and weary, the skies grew dark, and the wind began to howl. Suddenly, a pack of menacing wolves appeared, surrounding her with hungry eyes. Filled with fear, Belle tried to defend herself, but she was no match for the fierce predators. Just as the wolves lunged forward, ready to attack, a thunderous roar echoed through the forest. The beast, hearing Belle's cries, charged out from the shadows and fought off the ferocious beasts with his immense strength. Though wounded, he managed to save Belle from harm. As Belle regained her breath, she looked at the beast, a mix of gratitude and frustration in her eyes.
"Why did you save me? I was running away from you,"
she exclaimed. The beast, still catching his breath, replied in a gruff voice.
"Because, despite everything, I couldn't bear to see you harmed. You may not want to be here, but I still want to protect you."
Belle furrowed her brow, her frustration evident.
"But where will I go? I'm far from the village."
The beast sighed heavily, his wounds throbbing with pain.
"You may stay in my manor. If you can look past my appearance, you should be comfortable there for the night."
Belle softened at the beast's words and looked down at his wounded form.
"You're hurt because of me, aren't you? You risked your life to save mine."
Nodding slightly, the beast winced in pain.
"Yes, I did. But I couldn't bear the thought of anything happening to you. I care about you, Belle, even if you don't feel the same."
Moved by his vulnerability, Belle decided to set aside her anger.
"Let me tend to your wounds. It's the least I can do."
The beast hesitated but eventually agreed. Belle carefully cleaned and bandaged his wounds, her touch gentle yet firm. As she worked, they continued their conversation.
"You know,"
Belle said softly,
"perhaps we've both made mistakes. I shouldn't have run away, and you shouldn't have roared at me like that. Maybe we can learn from this."
The beast looked up at her, his eyes searching for understanding.
"What do you suggest, Belle?"
Belle took a deep breath and surprised both herself and the beast with her next words.
"Perhaps, as a way to acknowledge my mistake and find balance, you should. Donnez-moi une fessée."
"Spank me." The beast's eyes widened in astonishment, unsure if he had heard her correctly.
"Vous donnez la fessée? But, why?"
Belle looked at him earnestly.
"It's not about pain or punishment, but about accepting responsibility. If you were hurt because of my action, then it's only fair that I share in that consequence. It could be a way for us to understand each other better and move forward."
The beast considered Belle's words, slowly understanding her perspective.
"If that is what you truly desire, Belle, then I will do as you ask. But you must guide me through it."
Belle nodded, grateful that the beast was willing to listen.
"First, we need to establish trust. Start by holding my hand and sitting on the edge of the bed."
Following her instructions, the beast gently held Belle's hand and sat down. Belle positioned herself across his lap, her heart racing with anticipation.
"Now, you must pull off the skirt of my dress. Be careful not to."
With a confused tug, the beast ripped the thin fabric of the skirt to shreds along the hem.
"Tug to roughly,"
finished Belle. She flushed as she realized her petticoat was completely exposed. She was thoroughly embarrassed.
"Sorry, I thought that's what you meant by pull it off. I don't know my own strength sometimes,"
rumbled the beast. He also was thoroughly embarrassed. Belle felt butterflies in her stomach. On the one hand, she wasn't sure if she was entirely safe. On the other hand, she felt a thrilling, chilling sensation that shivered from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. She'd let the village hunk Gaston spank her once as a silly schoolgirl, and lived to regret that decision when she decided that he was also the village idiot after their third date. But not even Gaston had quite this much power.
"You should let me handle the petticoat. It's a bit tricky if you aren't used to it. Wouldn't want me to wander around your manor naked from the waist below. I'd be trapped here."
The beast swallowed as he watched Belle deftly unbutton her petticoat.
"No, that would be indecent.
At the last word, Belle pulled the cloth of her petticoat aside to present her
fesse
for her
fessé.
Sure enough, the petticoat was too complicated an affair for his thick fingers. In those olden days, ladies' petticoats folded over their bottoms. Girls had to unbutton them and fold the cloth to the left and the right when they had to relieve themselves or bare themselves for a spanking. It was like pulling aside the curtains of a window to frame a pale, full moon.
Now, you must place one end on my back to hold the firmly in place. Then, with your other end, aim for the lower part of my bottom.
With two fingers, Belle traced a heart shape along her lower cheeks, indicating the target.
If you aim too high, you could bruise my tailbone.
To her surprise, the beast landed the first spank. She hadn't expected him to start so soon, but fortunately, and unfortunately, he spanked much too softly. The beast made a confused sound like a sad wolf.
Was that too hard?
Belle shot him a teasing smile as his soft paw lingered on her ass.
Oh dear. Are you trying to fondle me? A gentleman such as yourself must know what to do and what not to do with your hands, correct?
She was disappointed when he lifted his paw with a start. Instantly, she missed the tickle of the fluffy fur and the leathery pads against her upper thighs.
Oh. I beg your pardon. I meant no disrespect. I just didn't want to hurt you.
Oh, but beast, a spanking has to hurt at least a little, otherwise it's not proper. Now, promise me no love pas, and no ruban until the end. I trust you won't take any unnecessary liberty.
The beast nodded, holding his paw at the ready to deliver what he hoped would be deemed a proper spank worthy of a gentleman.
Of course.
She explained step by step how he should proceed, emphasizing the importance of communication and consent throughout the process.
So, if you cry or say anything, I must stop immediately, is that right?
Well, yes and no. Talking is important during a spanking. It lets us understand each other better. But just because I cry and protest a bit doesn't mean you should stop spanking me right away. I'm trusting you to pay attention and stop when I've been spanked enough.
But how will I know? Will you tell me?
Belle thought of the roses she saw decorating the beast's garden.
I could. Let's have an agreement. If I cry out, rose. Or if you think my bottom looks a red a one of your rose, please end the spanking there. Otherwise, I trust you to choose how long my spanking should be.
Ah, like a password, or secret phrase?
Precisely. After all, does not a rose have thorns? It is a fitting image.
What if you forget to cry out rose? What if you say, stop? Or no?
I think I can remember the word rose. But you can expect a little pleading. I'll try to be tough, so you can be a little tough on me.
With a trembling hand, the beast lightly spanked Belle, carefully following her guidance. Belle winced at the sting but felt a strange mix of emotions, acknowledgement, accountability, and even a newfound connection to the beast. She could sense his own hesitation and tenderness in each touch. But despite the warmth of the sensation, Belle found the spanking was more of a pleasant experience when it should have been a proper punishment. The beast growled as he inspected Belle's lightly pink cheeks.
I don't think I've spanked you enough yet.
Belle tensed her shoulders, with a new surge of nervous excitement.
I was very rude to you in the forest. You were nothing but polite to me, and he treated you like a monster.
The beast's growl grew to the rumble of a tiger.
I was angry with you. I thought you were like all the others who have trespassed on my estate.
The beast's palm slapped against Belle's buttocks with more force. It suddenly occurred to her that it easily covered both of her cheeks. The paw lingered against her flesh again, encompassing her whole behind in one cupped palm. She hadn't felt anything like that since her papa spanked her when she was 4 years old for disobeying and playing with his sharp tools. She had been spanked since then, but not even Gaston's hands could cover that much surface area since Belle had developed her womanly hips. Belle distinctly felt 5 bear-like claws pressing into her right cheek. Not enough to break the skin, but fully capable of tearing through her flesh like a knife.
You have every right to be angry with me, beast. I'm a trespasser. He disrespected you.
She gasped as another hard spank landed against her like a soft leather paddle. His palm squeezed, flexing her hips as easily as if she was a toy doll. Belle remembered putting her own rag dolls across her knee to spank them when she was little. Quicker than before, the beast landed a second successive spank, gradually discovering a tempo.
You thought I was nothing more than a beast?
Belle was finding it more difficult to keep up her end of the conversation between the spanks.
Oh. Yes, I did, but... Oosh.
The beast quickened the pace slightly, like a drum gently signaling the end of an overture.
I am not an animal.
The last spank was a curving arc that aimed upward, lifting Belle's whole body upward and forward into the pillows of the bed by a few inches. Belle tightened her legs and felt goose prickles. This was as hard as Gaston had ever spanked her, like the time she'd caught him looking at her hidden books by the Marquis de Sade. He didn't read them, he only liked to look at the pictures and guffaw at them. The beast roared, punctuating his words with blows.
I am not just a beast.
Osh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't mean it. Eyo.
The force of the spank rippled across her buttocks harder than anything she had ever felt before, at twice the strength that Gaston could ever have mustered, through her hips and into her stomach, where fear clutched at her insides. Belle started to kick.
Oh no. Stop. Please, stop. I'm sorry. No.
As the beast landed successive spanks, each one breaking the world record for hardest spanking Belle had ever felt in her life, she arched her back, her hair flying wildly out of place. By now, the pace had increased to a crescendo, the climax of the symphony. The beast's roar shook the covers above the bed.
Say it.
Belle gasped. The word. What was the word? She'd forgotten it. In a panic, she scanned her eyes across the room, looking for the answer. But another single hardest spanking Belle had ever felt in her entire life forced her to shut her eyes tight, blinking back tears.
Say. It.
You're not a beast, wailed Belle, bucking and squirming. She tried to throw her arms back to shield her buttocks, but the beast's thick left arm was like a solid wall between her and her helpless behind. On the mantel, she caught a glimpse of a rose, displayed in a class case. Just as she was about to cry out,
Rose,
a spank landed which interrupted her train of thought.
Rose, ooh, wah.
Belle lost all pretense. All her life, she had wanted more than just a provincial life. She wanted to be tough, independent, educated. But now she was just a sobbing, scared mess of a girl, and she cried out the only word she felt in her heart.
I'm so sorry, beast. You're not just a beast. Spunk me. Please spunk me. Just forgive me.
As she melted into sobbing, the beast gently touched his paw to her flesh. She flinched instinctively, until she felt the soft, soothing caress of the leathery pad stroke her.
There. I forgive you. You said you trusted me to decide when you've been spanked enough. Well, I think you've been spanked more than enough.
Belle trembled with relief and raised her hips to accept the cooling touch. She had forgotten the secret phrase to end the torment, but the beast had remembered to stop on his own. As she broke down into fresh sobs of relief, the beast asked, uncertainly.
Did I do a bad job? You didn't say Rose, so I was afraid you'd be disappointed if I just stopped, but I was also afraid I was eating too hard.
Belle smiled and wiped the tears from her eyes, her voice filled with reassurance.
You did great, beast. This experience has shown me another side of you. A gentle soul beneath the fearsome exterior. Thank you for understanding and respecting my wishes.
As the beast helped Belle to her feet, a sense of understanding and acceptance enveloped them. She hugged him, burying her face in his chest the way she had done whenever Papa had ever spanked her for misbehaving. She'd never wanted to do that with Gaston, and Gaston would never have accepted such a display anyway.
Is this part of the spanking?
Of course, beast. My father always ended my spanking with a hug.
Ah. I see, then it would not be improper for me to return the gesture?
Belle gave a little laugh, like the tinkle of a bell.
You may hug me. And you never have to ask again.
The beast's arms wrapped around her, and gently massaged the sting from her scorched seat. Over dinner, they continued to converse, sharing their hopes and dreams, and gradually, a bond formed between them that was built on mutual respect and empathy. In the days that followed, Belle and the beast embarked on a journey of self-discovery and understanding. They didn't fall in love overnight. There was gentle teasing, feisty arguments, and plenty of mutually agreed upon spankings. But they learned to appreciate each other's strengths and flaws, And ultimately, their relationship blossomed into a love that surpassed appearances. When Belle finally confessed the whole story of her mad plan to run away from home and make her way in the world, the Beast insisted that she must see her father, and insisted that Belle needed a good spanking to remind her to honor her father. When the Beast's servants escorted Father to the Beast's home by carriage, he was thrilled to be reunited with Belle. After the initial shock of meeting the Beast, the two quickly hit it off famously. Speaking of hitting it off, they found much to talk about as Papa delivered Belle's long-awaited and long-dreaded spanking, with his newly patented spanking machine no less. With Papa's blessing, and the servants' assurance of the Beast's good character, Papa welcomed their courtship, and congratulated Beast for graciously taking the steps necessary to tame his spirited daughter.
"She's not too old to get a spanking, but I'm getting too old to give her one,"
joked Papa, slapping Beast across the back of the shoulder, and giving Belle one last slap across the behind. Belle felt bittersweet as she kissed her Papa, knowing that it was the end of a chapter of her life, but also the beginning of a new one. With the Beast's support, Belle's education allowed her to pursue her dream of becoming a writer of poetry and fiction, where she achieved more than she ever dreamed she could accomplish when she first set off to Paris. And so, in the depths of the enchanted forest, the Beast and Belle found happiness together, their tale a testament to the transformative power of acceptance and forgiveness. One night, after a comfortable day of reading together, followed by slightly gentler spanking than her first one with the Beast, just for fun, Belle sat naked on his lap, her weight pressing her bottom against his left paw, which supported her like a firm pillow. With his right paw, he gently stroked her hair.
"Belle, I love you. Will you marry me?"
Already shedding tears from the spanking, Belle cried fresh tears of joy.
"Marry you? Yes. Yes, of course, my Beast."
As she dove up to reach his lips, he caught her deftly and returned her kiss. And with that, the curse was broken, and before Belle stood her Beast, the same man she had grown to love, but finally with an appearance to match his human soul. And after they were married, he spanked her happily ever after. The end. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy my spanking stories, you can read more for free by following You May Spank It Once on DeviantArt and Patreon.